Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
This family series we started 3 weeks ago, and we kicked off this idea, and we said that amazing families are God-first families, right? How many remember that? Putting God right there in the middle, making Him first, because if God is first, we said what? The rest is blessed. How many remember that? Remember we juggled some balloons and we talked about prioritizing your life and keeping God right in the middle. And then the second installment, Pastor Johnny did a fantastic job encouraging us as families to begin to serve one another. And as you serve your spouse and as you serve your children and children, as you serve your parents. Come on, all the moms and dads said. Oh, man, it just makes life so much better. We've got a child labor force at my house, and I want you to know it's working well for us. So Johnny talked to us about serving one another. And then last week, how many of you were here last week? Last week we talked about conflict and communication. Yes, yes, Lord. If you missed it, get the CD because you need to hear that one. I had one lady, I think it was through Facebook, sent me a message saying, you know, Mike, your messages are working. My husband wrote me a card and sent me flowers. I say, man, praise God. Some of your husbands need to take notes. It's going to bless you in your marriage. And so, you know, there's a lot that we've talked about, and really there's so much more that we haven't talked about. We've only scratched the surface. We could go in this family series for months. And let me just refer you, because I know Brother Wayne and Miss D, they teach a great Life for Marriage class. How many of you have taken this Life for Marriage class? It's amazing. It truly is a game changer. There's a lot that we are not able to discuss here on Sundays. But in those classes and those environments, they do an amazing job of breaking some of those things down, giving you tools to build a great marriage. I know we have a Financial Peace University, FPU. That's a great class to help you with your finances. Maybe some of you walked through some brokenness and pain, and you were once married, but you're no longer, and you're trying to sort through how to heal and how to move your life forward. We have a divorce recovery class. So I just want to encourage you, you know, as we wrap up this series today, maybe we didn't get to every topic, and I promise you, there was a lot that was left on the table, you know. And in 4 weeks, we did our best to wrap our arms around what amazing families and healthy families look like. But today, the topic is passion and purity. Passion and purity, and this should come with a warning label, okay? I'm going to give you a warning label for this particular topic. This may be a great opportunity for you, moms and dads, if your kids are with you right now, it may be good for you to go ahead and run them up to the kids' district and put them in one of those kids' classes. Or if they need to run the concourse, we've got 14,000 square feet of space for them. Just turn them loose, let them have at it. And so if you need, whatever you need to do to help your children, there may be parts of this message where you'll need to cover their ears. You know, however you feel empowered as a parent, do what's best for your kids, because not all kids are at the level where they can have this discussion. This is for mature audiences today. Can I have a good amen? Some of you are more attentive now than you've ever been. And you are more dialed in than you have ever been at the beginning of a message. Let me start by telling you this quick story. Several years ago, I was at the University of Florida, and I was speaking to a group of college athletes, probably athletes and students, about 600-700 of them together. And so after that service, it was a weekend conference, and after I spoke, then I had a chance to spend some time with some guys. They said, Mike, come hang out with us at our apartment. And it was the ultimate bachelor pad. These are 7 or 8 guys living together in one apartment. How many of you know that was nasty? I mean, it's just gross. It just stunk. It smelled bad. I felt like I walked into a locker room. There's dirty dishes everywhere, laundry all over the place. But the prized possession of this apartment was about an 8-foot-long aquarium. Let me tell you, this thing was decked out. In fact, the aquarium was nicer than the apartment. I'm thinking, man, if I'm living in with these guys, I want to live in the aquarium. You know, and in this aquarium, they had a huge garfish. Anybody know what a garfish is? Yeah, most of you do. You know, this massive garfish, and it was just lazily just kind of swimming through the waters. Huge aquarium. Obviously, that was his domain. And these guys, they said, hey, check this out. We haven't fed this gar in 2 days. And they had gone to the pet store and got a bag, a Ziploc bag of miniature goldfish. Oh, yes. I was getting a little nervous because I knew where this was going. I had just watched the movie Finding Nemo. And so here they release, they pour these little miniature goldfish into the aquarium, and it's just like letting kids out to recess. I mean, they were swimming in new water. Isn't this great? Isn't this great? Like they're out on the playground, they're exploring the tank and all the different tricks and the little coves and the little, and so they had no idea the danger that they were in. Da-dun. Da-dun. And here I am. Now all the guys are gathered around the tank, and there's the instinctively I'm calling out to these little goldfish, run! I mean, swim! Swim away! Swim away! Get out of here! I'm begging. I'm pleading. They're not even listening to me. They think this is just a free-for-all. Isn't this great? We love this environment. This is our... And that garfish would come and just slowly swim right up to those goldfish. And I mean, with one giant chop, gone. And all the guys were like, dude, that was awesome! Thinking, man, this is like a horror movie. And in just a few moments, all 10 goldfish gone like that. Sex. We don't talk about it, do we? But yet the truth is, some of you know people who are missing massive chunks of their life because they had no idea the danger that they were in. Let me ask you this question. How many of you didn't talk to your parents about intimacy? Never talked. Didn't talk to them about it. All right? It's a lot of hands. How many of you, and I don't know how long you've gone to church, how many of you have never gone to church and heard a sermon on sex? Well, now let me ask you this. If we don't talk about it to our parents, we don't talk about it in church, where in the world are we supposed to learn what godly intimacy is all about? I see people leaving. That's all right. I get it. I gave you the warning label. It's okay. It's all right. Where are we supposed to get our education from? We're going to get it from school? Somebody say, help us, Jesus. We'll learn from older brothers or sisters, or maybe it's locker room conversation. That's it. We'll learn about it in PE class. Maybe for some of us, the most education we've gotten is going to a local Exxon and going to the bathroom and seeing the graffiti on the wall. And it grieves me as a pastor that we don't talk about it in the house of God. You know what? Everybody else is talking about it. It's everywhere. Everywhere you look, it's in movies. It's in our music. Do you listen to the lyrics of some of these songs? It's in our movies. It's in our music. It's even in our mail. You can't go to the mailbox without getting something that, whoa, 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 what is that all about? Hey, you know, a couple months ago, Trevor and I were watching a football game. Football! They did a little shot on the cheerleaders. Trevor was locked in. I said, boy, what you looking at? He said, I'm looking at the belly button cheerleaders. What? No, you're not. Cover his eyes. You don't look at those cheerleaders. Only three cheerleaders you're concerned about, your mom and your two sisters. It's everywhere. The world's not silent on this issue. The church can't afford to be silent on this issue. Our silence is killing us. We don't talk about it. In fact, we're even uncomfortable saying the word in church. Let me ask you this. Where did passion come from? Hey. Would we agree that passion came from God Almighty? That it was God's gift to man? God's not uncomfortable talking to us about something he's created for us. And parents, let me tell you, if you're not talking to your kids about this, I promise you their friends are talking about it. Promise you the music they listen to, the movies they watch, they're getting their education somewhere. And what I've discovered is this, if you get bad information, you'll make bad decisions. If we're going to allow the world to be the dominant voice on what human sexuality is all about, we're in trouble. Sex is God's gift to man. Now watch this. Sex is not evil. It's not dirty. It's not sinful or wicked or vile. You know what? Intimacy is a holy thing. It's a sacred thing. It's God's gift for a husband and a wife to share and enjoy together within the confines of marriage. Covenant is the relationship in which we experience this gift the best. Now, you know, we talk about the Ten Commandments. We're all familiar with the Ten Commandments. But do you know the very first command that God gave us in Scripture? Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God told mankind, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Well, now, what does that mean? I just don't know what that means. It's a command from God. He says, enjoy one another. This is the gift that I've given you. In fact, did you know out of the 66 books called the Bible, there's an entire book that's dedicated toward romance and sex? What book is it? The Song of Solomon. Oh, the songs that Solomon would sing. Man, when you're in love, everybody knows. Come on, somebody. The song, do you know that in the first century church, that's the only book that was edited and censored? They wouldn't let Christian boys read the Song of Solomon until age 13 because it stirred up so much passion within them. God's the author of it. He's got a lot to say about it. In fact, one time when Rachel and I were leading the college students here years ago, we did a series on the Song of Solomon. It was the highest attendance we'd ever had among college students. I remember one service on a Wednesday night. We had almost 1,000 college kids in the building. And in the Song of Solomon, watch this, the couple is romantic and intimate twice. It'll make you blush to read it. And so I got to one of the steamier portions of the passage in the Song of Solomon, and I looked down to a guy on the front row, and he did this right here. He had to make sure that this was the Bible that we were reading from. Hello? God's not afraid to talk to us about something he created for us. And my concern is this, what God intended for pleasure, the enemy intends for pain. And some of you, you know people, maybe they're in your family, maybe they're close friends, maybe you even personally, you carry so much pain because no one taught you the biblical context of intimacy. I know this is a difficult Sunday. I know that this topic is a lightning rod issue, but I felt a mandate to in this family series for us as married couples and as singles, we got to walk through the scriptures and see what God tells us about intimacy. Because if we know what God's word says about intimacy, when we do it God's way, we experience God's best. And this can bless your marriage when you have an understanding of what God has to say about how this gift is to be used. As a single, you know, and I know we've got young people here. We've got teenagers and college students. And one day you hope to share your life with someone. I want to tell you, the scripture talks over and over again about how this can be a blessing into your life. If you'll express it God's way. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me say this. As you're turning to 1 Thessalonians, let me lay a foundation here. Everything that I'm about to tell you, everything that you're about to hear, it's based on two things. Number one, God's love for you. Hear me. God loves you. Know this. Today is not about guilt or condemnation. If you walk out of here under heaviness of guilt and condemnation over past mistakes and previous sins, that's not God. Now, there may be some conviction. Conviction is okay because conviction draws us to God. Condemnation pushes us from God. Today's not about condemnation. So I want you to know this. God loves you. And then the second thing I want you to know is God wants what's best for you. So before I give you a bunch of to-dos and to-don'ts, I mean, it's interesting how God, before he gave the children of Israel the Ten Commandments, you know the first time God ever spoke to the Israelites? Whenever they had no government. They had just been delivered from slavery. They'd been slaves in Egypt for 430 years. The first time God spoke to them as a collective group of people in Exodus 19, he reminded them of three things. Number one, the love he had for them. Number two, the victories he had won for them. And number three, the plans that he had prepared for them. So watch this. God's heart for the Israelites was not to give them the Ten Commandments and a bunch of rules without first establishing relationship. Okay? In fact, Exodus 20, verse 1, maybe verse 2, he says, remember, I am the Lord your God. You know what that implies? Relationship. God loves you. I'm not going to give you a bunch of rules about intimacy today without first reminding you that God is crazy about you and wants a relationship with you. How many parents do we have? Any parent with common sense knows this equation. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. And all the parents said, you know, you just don't strap a bunch of rules. If you give rules and subtract relationship, you're going to create rebellion into your kids. Every parent knows that. Every kid knows that. Every politician knows that. I mean, how was our country birthed? Taxation without representation. Remember? That was rules without relationship. What did we do as a nation? We rebelled. God says this, I love you. This is about relationship. I am for you. So in that light, let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 3. Scripture says this, God's will is for you to be what? Come on, everybody say it. God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in what? Holiness. There's that word again. You'll live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Never harm or cheat a Christian brother in this matter by violating his wife. For the Lord avenges all such sins. As we have solemnly warned you before, God has called us to live what? Holy lives, not impure. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now, the Apostle Paul is saying this, we're to live holy lives. You know what the word holy means? It means to be set apart. You know what that tells me? That as believers, as men and women who are doing our best to please God, that our relationships should look different than the relationships in the world. Come on, help me now. I mean, so whatever culture is telling us about sexuality and romance, we operate from a different standard. You know why? Because a different standard creates a different blessing. Can I have a good amen? So Paul says, be holy, be set apart. Singles, your relationships should look differently than worldly relationships. Married couples, as believers in God, the standards we set in our marriage should look totally different than worldly standards. Paul says, be holy, be pure. Church, we've got to get back to this. We have to get back to holiness. You know, what's shocking to me is what we couldn't tolerate 10 years ago in our movies and in our music. What used to appall us 10 years ago, we live with now. The standards of holiness haven't changed, but apparently because of culture, it blurs the lines. There would be movies that if it had one bad word in it, we'd walk out of the movie theater. Now, if a movie has 15 curse words, it's kind of okay. Well, it's only got one scene, and it's, they don't really show anything. And we tolerate things. Now, hey, what we tolerate as parents, what we do in moderation, watch this. What we do in moderation as parents, our kids will do in excess. I didn't say that in the 9 o'clock service. But as moms and dads, we have to set a standard. We have to get back to the book. Got to get back to this. This is our code of conduct. If sex is God's gift, if it came from God, don't you think we ought to consult God and how we're supposed to operate in it? Purity. Everybody say purity. I want to do my best to give you three pillars of purity. Purity. This is what I felt in my spirit in preparing for this Sunday. Let me tell you, this is a difficult week. Knowing that I had to talk about this, it wasn't easy. But I felt like that I was probably opposed because if there's one issue that the enemy would love to destroy marriages and families, it would be over this issue right here. Scripture said, Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I want you to see God in your marriage. Singles, when you're dating, I want you to see the fingerprints of God. Why? Because you're striving for purity. The pure in heart will see God. Now, let me give you some pillars of purity. If you're taking notes, number one, set boundaries. Set boundaries. Everybody say boundaries. Boundaries are a big deal, aren't they? Question, how many of you just arbitrarily set your house on fire? Anybody just randomly go through different rooms, match, gasoline, just kind of light things on fire? Nobody does that, do they? Let me ask you this question. How many of you have a fireplace at your house? Anybody use their fireplace this weekend? Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Now, you wouldn't just, you know, set a match to your house, but when you have a fireplace, watch this. A fireplace is made of brick, metal, and glass. And if that fire can stay within the boundaries, you know what that fire does? It provides warmth, light, and joy. But what happens if that fire gets out of the fireplace? Burn the whole house down. Let me tell you something about premarital sex. It will burn your house down. And the world will say, "Oh, well, you can protect yourself." Safe sex is what they call it. Safe. Oh, yeah, just intimacy with a condom and you'll be all right. Let me tell you this. There's not a condom in the world that will protect you from a broken heart. See, the problem is we've clothed this generation in latex and we haven't clothed them in the truth. Set boundaries. What does that mean? Okay, what does that mean for a single? Single, it means save it for marriage. Save it for, what does that mean for married couples? Keep it in marriage. Well, wait. Do you mean to tell me that God's best for my life is boundaries? You better believe it. Because if you let that thing outside of those boundaries, you're in trouble. Now, let me ask you this question. Why would God say no? As parents, why do you say no? Is it to restrict your kids or is it to protect your kids? Boundaries are not about restriction, they're about protection. And God's basically saying, hey, I want to protect you. Because if this fire gets outside of that fireplace, your whole life could go up in smoke. And the truth is, many of you know people who have been burned because they haven't paid attention to boundaries. The enemy wouldn't be attacking you if something very valuable weren't inside of you. Thieves don't break into empty houses. Come on. They break into a house that has something valuable in it. You know what? You've got something valuable in you. It's called your spirit. God's trying to protect your spirit. Sex is so much more than physical. There's an emotional bond. That's why soul ties. When you're intimate with someone, there's a soul tie that takes place. We live in a hookup generation. Oh, I'll meet you for one time and we'll just hook up. You look, it was purely physical. Oh, don't think for a second that you can walk away from that and not have your heart in pieces. God's trying to protect you. God's trying to, watch this. God's not trying to take the joy out of life. He's trying to take the sting out of life. And if you listen to the boundaries, I want to tell you, you know, in my backyard, we have a lake. We've got a big old pond in our backyard. But guess what we have? We've got a fence. There's a fence line that won't allow my five-year-old son to get back into that water. I say, Trevor, you can play in the backyard all you want, but stay within the fence. Why am I doing that? Because I realize that if he goes on the other side of that fence, that boy don't know how to swim that well. And he's going to be taking on water. He could drown. Daddy, you're not for me. Why can't you just let me do what I want to do? Because I love you. I'm giving you some boundaries. Husbands, let me help you. When you travel, don't travel alone. When we go, our pastors, when we travel to other places, conferences and churches and leadership events, we don't travel by ourselves. Jesus sent out his disciples 2 by 2. Why'd he do that? I think we're better when we're watched. We're better together. There's accountability in that. You know what else? Never be alone with the opposite sex. Don't be alone with the opposite sex. Well, I'm just taking her out to lunch. Really? Don't ride in the car with the opposite sex. We don't do that. We set boundaries in our lives to protect our marriages. I want to tell you this too. If you've got the internet at your house, you better have a filter. You better have something that protects you and protects your children. Your kids can get on an iPad or on a laptop, and in just a few keystrokes, man, they're all of a sudden, I'm telling you, the internet is a powerful tool, and I love it. I'm not condemning technology, but I'm saying this, if you don't know how to steward it, it's dangerous. I heard a statistic this week that broke my heart, saying 50% of pastors, 50% of pastors look at pornography. Spiritual leaders are being baited by Satan, and they go down a path that will eventually destroy them. How many of you know we need boundaries? Set boundaries to protect yourself. Watch your media intake. Don't spend a lot of time. Some of these social outlets, it's scary. It's scary what's out there. People posting pictures on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, dear God, whatever happened to modesty? There's no shame anymore. Honor your spouse publicly. Fellas, brag about your wife. When I get on this stage, you know what I do? I talk about how crazy I am about Rachel. Why is that? Mike, you're just making that up. No, it's true. But I want everybody in the house to know that I'm hers and she's mine. And I'm happily married. Fellas, if you criticize your spouse at the office, I'm going to tell you, you'll find a listening ear. You'll find a young lady that would love to just be understanding to you. Well, you know what? Your wife doesn't seem to understand you like I do. How many of you know that just opens the door to destruction? Facebook. Oh, I've got a Facebook friend. Yeah, he's an old boyfriend, but he's still a friend. And hey, how you doing? Well, listen, I got some challenges in my marriage. And it all starts just as innocent as Facebook friends, and it leads you down a path of destruction. Am I helping anybody this morning? Ephesians, listen to this. Ephesians 5, verse 3. Paul said, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. One translation says, don't even let there be a hint of sexual immorality. For such sins have no place among God's people. Avoid the very appearance of evil. Because a lot of times the appearance of evil often leads to the reality of evil. Can I get a good amen? Amen. Number one, set boundaries. Number two, the second pillar of purity. Number two, be intentional. Be intentional. This is for husbands and wives. Listen, check out this statistic. The average married couple spends just 4 minutes alone together each day. 4 minutes. Our lives are so busy and filled with stuff. Jobs and kids and TV and internet and hobbies and home and family responsibility. We've got so much going on. Husbands and wives. You know one of the best ways to affair-proof your marriage? Invest in your marriage. Spend time together. Nothing improves with neglect. Not a single thing. Neglect your vehicle for the next year and a half. Tell me if you're still driving that thing. It'll break down, won't it? Neglect your house over the next 6 months to a year. What'll happen? Stuff will break down. Neglect your kids. What happens? Stuff breaks. Married couples, if you neglect intimacy, things begin to break down. Invest in your marriage. Build intimacy together. Don't expect it to just build itself. Intimacy, check this out. Into me, see. I want you to look into me. Can I trust you with the real me? You've got to make an investment as married couples. Call a timeout. Say no to some of the good things so you can say yes to the best things. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Two rules for guys. Fellas, number one, never argue with a tired woman. Number two, never argue with a well-rested woman. Two secrets to keep your marriage fully alive. Number one, whenever you're wrong, admit it. Number two, whenever you're right, keep your mouth shut. Honor builds intimacy. When you honor, it builds intimacy. Do you honor one another? Husbands, honor your wives. Wives, honor your husbands. It's amazing to me how, you know, you can walk into a building and the guy is walking 10 paces ahead of his wife. And just waving at all the adoring masses. Hey, here I am. Well, wait a second. The best thing about you is 10 steps behind you. Come on, all the ladies said amen. Don't just treat her like she's some tag along. I'm telling you what, if it weren't for her, you'd be in big trouble. Honor your wife. You know what? When you honor, it means to place value. When you value her, guess what, fellas? She wants to give herself to you. She doesn't want to give herself to some man that's full of himself. Look, drop your ego. Check it at the door. Honor your spouse and it will go well with you. Cultivate a friendship. Somebody told me this years ago and I never forgot it. Love is a friendship set on fire. Listen, marry your best friend and then remind her every day why you married her. Discover love languages. This is another thing. And I know you've heard Dr. Gary Chapman, The 5 Love Languages. Have you read that book? It's a great resource. 5 Love Languages. Learn the love language of your spouse and begin to speak that language, okay? Number two, be intentional. And the last thing, and I need to hustle through this. I'm going to take the last 5 minutes and talk to you about number three. Tell the truth. In a court of law, you will be sworn in, and before you give testimony, they'll tell you to put your hand on a Bible and do what? Do you promise to tell the truth? The whole truth. Why they got to go there? I mean, either it's the truth or it's not, right? But apparently along the way, we've become experts at taking what's true and twisting it, or maybe just telling portions of it, and so therefore we got to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Reminds me of the guy who wrote a letter to the IRS. He said, I haven't been able to sleep. Here's $150 that I owe from last year. If I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest. You know what? A relationship has to be built on truth. It's got to be. You know where trust comes from? It comes from truth. Now, here's what happens, and let me just take the next couple minutes and break this down, because I know this is the tipping point for many of us. You'll never fully give yourself in a relationship unless you can completely trust. But here's what happens. Maybe some of you, maybe growing up as a kid, when it came to this issue of sex and sexuality, maybe you were mishandled. Maybe you weren't treated right. And you've grown with the guilt of that. Part of you takes responsibility for it. In some way, you feel like, hey, this was my fault. Maybe I created this. Maybe I did this. Maybe I invited this. And so there's an experience that happens to you. Or maybe you invited sin into your life. Maybe you stepped outside. You made a poor decision. I don't know what the set of circumstances is. But whatever the case, something happened, and it was deeply painful. It was even sinful. And so as you grow older, the devil has a way of taking what happened and connecting it to who you are. Watch this. This is where many of us live. Something happened to you, or maybe you participated in something, and the devil will take what happened to you and cause you to connect it with how you see yourself. And so now it's no longer guilt, but guilt turns into shame. I want to finish today by talking to you about shame. Because I know when it comes to human sexuality, there's a lot of guilt, but guilt turns into shame if it's not addressed. Guilt has to do with what you've done. Shame has to do with who you are. You may have done what they said you did, but you are not who they say you are. And so you grow into adulthood and guilt has turned into shame. And you believe now the only way to be safe is to hide. And so you lock that stuff away in a vault of shame. And there's a secret that if anybody else knew this about me, it would destroy me. You come to church and there are moments where you feel freedom and you want to completely surrender to God, but the enemy is talking to you about the shameful things of your past. There's a secret that now you are prisoner to. Can I tell you this, church? You'll always be a slave to your secrets. I don't care what label you put on it, sexual or not, you're a slave to your secrets. And the devil has said, listen, if anybody found out about this, you can't tell anybody. There's so much remorse. And so you live a secret life. And where secrets live, intimacy dies. But where intimacy lives, secrets die. I want you to know today that you have an opportunity to be free from the guilt and the shame of your past. If you'll step into the truth, if you'll make a decision, you know what? I can't live like this any longer. Some of you, the best thing you can do today is to talk to your spouse and be completely honest with what's happened. Oh, I can't do that. Mike, the risk is way too high. I'll tell you this, you're rolling the dice. You are rolling the dice. If you don't tell, the end result could be far worse. Some of you need to talk to a pastor today. Some of you need to talk to a mentor or a close friend and say, you know what? I don't want to live under guilt or shame any longer. I want to step into the truth. And when you do that, if God would give you the courage to take a step toward truth, you come out of darkness and step into the light. Jesus said that we are children of the day. We're children of light. And as God's word is going forth today, it's illuminating some things. I want to challenge you, don't hide in darkness and shame any longer. Trust yourself to God and walk in truth, because a relationship that's built on truth will last for a lifetime. The Bible says in James 5, confess your faults, confess your sins to each other, and pray for each other that you may be healed. There's healing in the house today. We sang about the blood of Jesus. I want you to know the blood of Jesus covers all of your sin, takes away all of your guilt, and removes all of your shame. Can I have a good amen? I want to close. I want to ask the band to come up. 17 years ago, almost 17 years ago, July 27th, 1996, a day that changed my life. Rachel and I had dated for 4 years, long-distance relationship for 4 years. How many dated long distance? It was great for us. That distance was good because, you know what, it forced us to focus on how we communicate. After 4 years of dating, I finally said, enough is enough. Girl, let's just do this thing together. I asked her to be my wife. She said yes. July 27th, right here on this property. 1996, down there in that building before it was remodeled. Building was half its size. One of the best days of my life. My grandparents flew up an airplane for the very first time. They got on an airplane in Missouri and flew to Baton Rouge to come see their grandson get married. My coach was there. All of my teammates were there, played basketball with. My roommates, all these guys stood in my wedding. But I was there to see one person that day. Her name was Rachel. When the music played and those doors opened and her daddy walked her down that aisle, I saw the goodness of God coming to me. And I thought, Lord, I don't deserve this. Do you know God is good to us, not because we're good, but because He is? And she walked down that aisle, the beautiful, most beautiful thing I've ever laid eyes on. My stomach was just tore up, man. I was twisted up and in knots. And you know you're in love whenever you play the piano and you sing a song on your wedding day. Oh, yes, I did. I sang a country love song. I did. Yes, I did. Let the world stop turning. Let the sun stop burning. Let them tell me love's not worth going through. Come on, I sang to her and tears were coming down her cheeks. I didn't know if it was tears of joy or tears of pain. And we held hands and we made promises to each other. For the last 17 years, we've kept those promises. I told her, I'll never divorce you. I will never leave you. You see, that marriage is about one man for one woman for one lifetime. And we gave each other rings and then we kissed. Oh, did we kiss? And we turned and we faced our family and friends. And an announcement was made. I now present to you for the very first time the Reverend Dr. Mr. and Mrs. Mike Heyman. And we walked out of that church and we went over to the reception. Right across the street. It was Highland House back in the day. It wasn't Rufino's. It wasn't DiNardo's. It was Highland House. I don't know if you remember that. I barely remember that reception. Don't remember a thing about it. I had the honeymoon on my mind. We got in a limo. That limo rolled us down to New Orleans. And that driver couldn't go fast enough. We checked into a hotel that night. Got into our room. Some of you are thinking, oh, Pastor, where are you going with this? We sat on the edge of that bed and I pulled out a journal that I had kept for all the days that we had been engaged. 281 days. And the cover of that journal said 281 reasons why I love you. And we sat on that bed and we flipped through every one and we read every entry to why I loved her. And then we knelt beside that bed and we prayed. And God spoke. And he said, go for it. Hey! Listen to me, church. The best sex is experienced between a godly man and a holy woman. Don't let the world lie to you. Sex outside of marriage or before marriage can't even compare to the wonderful intimacy that God gives within marriage.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.